Sefer Dome. Sefer Dome. This poem is very short. It's not even a poem. It's a rant. Today is marathon. It was marathon day, and this poem has two titles. It's either called "What Not to Do in Dublin When You're Killing Time Waiting for a Gorgeous Girl to Finish the Marathon," or "Mermaids in the Liffey." I think the second one is a winner. The first one's too long, doesn't fit onto a page.
Okay.
Mermaids in the Liffey. We'll call it Mermaids in the Liffey. Just after the 2-hour mark, I overheard somebody in a spar shop commenting that the Dublin City Marathon had already been won. I sat down in a Temple Bar cafe wishing I had E.T.'s fingers to help you as you were driving on towards 8 miles or so. Instead, I imagined that you were sitting at the other side of the table looking through an alphabet of herbal tea, telling me I drink too much coffee. You were gorgeous. And I was nervous. So I went to the toilet and I swallowed a fistful of magic mushrooms. When I came back, you were gone. You were gone, you were gone, and Gene Hackman had taken your place. And he was gorgeous. Nothing like the Gene Hackman I knew from the movies. To begin with, he had breasts. And he leaned forward, driving them flat into the table. I must admit I was finding it kind of hard to concentrate. I asked him if he'd like to do something, and he got the wrong idea. He said, "Name the date and I'll arrange the sin." I said, I left. And I walked outside, and there were a dozen mermaids swimming the Liffey, all singing in Polish, and they were gorgeous. Three guys holding hands walking down Pembroke Quay were blowing kisses at me, and two taxi drivers wolf whistled. Mary McAleese, God bless her, was abseiling down the Dublin Spire, painting it all sorts of groovy colours as she went, and people still question what the fuck it is she really does for this country. Sir Bob Geldof was thrown headfirst out of Brown Thomas by security for being too gorgeous. I picked him up, puckered, kissed him on the lips and said, "Bob, just today I know how you feel." I left him on a park bench in St. Stephen's Green, looking much the same colour. But then about four guys in tracksuits and hoods and pockets full of drugs followed me back down the street, and they cornered me into a quiet place, and they... Do you know what they did? They gave me back my wallet, which I dropped while looking at the mermaids, because I told you there was mermaids swimming in the Liffey, all singing in Polish, and they were gorgeous. At that point, about 17,000 legs multiplied by 2 went jogging past. I'd forgotten about the marathon, I'd forgotten about you, so I made my way back up to the Berlin Wall, which stretched like a Berlin Wall of cotton wool across the street. It was actually the finishing line. Didn't know the difference. Sat down and I waited. I waited for you to come bursting through that line like a Duracell bunny that had taken something funny. But it was me that had taken something funny. And Tommy Lee Jones came bursting through instead. And this is what he said. "Our fugitive has been on the run for 90 minutes. Average foot speed over uneven ground, barring injuries, is 4 miles an hour. That gives us a 6-mile radius. What I want out of each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station, resident, outhouse, henhouse, pump house, and doghouse. Checkpoints go up to 15 miles, and your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball. Go get him." Needless to say, I was in that kind of mood, so I went looking for Dr. Richard Kimball. I met him half an hour later drinking herbal tea with Gene Hackman in the Temple Bar Cafe. I turned and looked at him and he said, "I didn't kill my wife." I said, "That's okay, I don't care." Gene Hackman's arm fell off and we knew we'd found our man. Jack Bauer was quickly on the scene setting up a perimeter. The schematics of the building uploaded to his cell phone. Jason Bourne came crashing through the ceiling and said, "Tell me about Treadstone." I said, "Jason, look at the state of me, man. I couldn't tell you about long division." He wasn't happy with the answer, so he walked. He walked outside. We all followed him, walked down Grafton Street, where there was the Pope, the Dalai Lama, and Bono, launching a full frontal assault on Brown Thomas, in the name of Bob Geldof, in the name of Tibetan freedom, in the name of... Can't do the notes, you know. But we didn't care about that, because there was mermaids swimming in the Liffey, all singing in Polish, and they were gorgeous.
No stranger to our vows. Hey, no at all. Thanks to him we had to eat it tonight. Next up, can we please have Mr. Dore Harding.
board, Smith, and there was a representation from Reuters went to Dublin a couple of weeks ago to plead with Mr. McCarthy to try and drop his proposals to undo what he did 30 years ago and give tax free to writers and artists and things. This is called McCarthyland. He claimed that art is going to happen anyway, so we're going to give money to it. Art will always happen, not necessarily with support. It will evolve, take its shape even if the artist is not there. Although there may be a report you've seen passing there without brush, pen or violin. Word was out that he was seen someplace outside or within. Either way, it did not matter. If he were there or in between, he may get credit for the clutter that will come our way, as it will, like water from a spring, sparkling sometimes, sometimes just still. There's a place called McCarthyland, or McCarthyism. No, there's a ring. They could go hand in hand. Thanks.
So you know, next up we have Eileen O'Regan.
Two very short related haikus called Blackbird and Worm. Blackbird stands patters to dim with his worms below. Come up, it's raining. Blind worm underground feels that tapping wet soon sound rises up to dust.
Could we have Lorcan Murray to the microphone, please? Lorcan Murray.
This is called Grand Theft Auto. I stole that name. And it goes out to someone who will probably never hear this. I stole a smile today. Under weary trees, stealthily. Imagined myself as I once was, a leaf prone to fluttering, a dancer on the wind, glorious when set free to delve in operatic intensity with love and all its tangled majesty. Now, sadly, I lie cold and yellowed on the ground, like the corners of that photo I held too much. No matter how hard I pray, I can't beat gravity. And images will never replicate your touch.
Thank you, Dorcan. Next up we have Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Paul. It's mercifully short and mercifully sweet, okay? This is called Stare. Stare, creeping through the curtains, your dark eyes commit the crime against my sleeping person. Sleeping through the comfort of the morning. This heart is fluorescent, forsaking all friendships save yours. While not sinned against yet sinning, I stutter and worship to my demise, a distant pinpoint in the black, that for now cannot overwhelm my fortune, my vision, my psyche. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Next up we have Rosie O'Regan.
I thought I was after Tony Desmond, but I guess he didn't laugh. The distance downstairs, anyway, I'll dedicate this to Tony. Has no title. Politics, poetry. Poetry, politics. Poetry, poetrix. Bollocks.
Thanks, Rosie. If you're going to... think it's Jerry Murphy.
It's Jerry Murphy.
This is called Romp. After sharing the last can of beer, we emerged from the kitchen into the wreckage of another wild student party. This was a long time ago. The marijuana had smoked, except for a few flecks you managed to retrieve from the carpet. We burnt these on a spoon, ate the ashes, and went. We rustled up some white paint and a couple of sponges in the garage and set out on our mission. We started with the usual slogans, smash the state on our own back gate, property of theft 2 doors down, all sorts of proletariat on the surgery door, and kill the collaborating poor on the corner shop window. As we approached university, we entered our religious phase. God is dead, and so is St. Peter, on the black hoarding outside the main gates, strangled the druids with their own entrails on the chaplain's notice board, and finally, our piece de resistance, all along the steep convent wall in 3-foot-high letters, here at night, the nuns take down Christ's trousers.
Yes, to the nuns. All right. Except we have Seamus Harrington.
You didn't tell me I'd have to follow Jerry. Jamming. Snare drums rattling, trombone zoom, tenor sax screaming, double bass boom. Guitar twanging from electric heights, chimes still tinkle to muted lights. Silver flutes tootle, percussions brush, clarinets warble to alto sax gush. Trumpet calling, tambourines jing, hi-hat lifting, the cowbells ring. The sirens blare, notes so shrill, harmonicas bleat, to whistles trill. Banjos rat-a-tat, coarsely reply, to conch shell echo of piccolo high. Xylophones hit, but tubas rude, bongos rhythm, get in the mood. Keyboards persisting, notes so brash, French horns burping, cymbals crash. Oboes blending, as fiddles in sync, the jiving cat, no time to think.
Yes. Yeah, for fuck's sake, why not, Seamus, honestly? We've only got one person left on the list tonight, and we're getting kicked out anyway if we don't put this person on really soon, because we're going to get gear and stuff. Then we're going to the Crane Lane, it's free music, it's going to be good. Anyway. Last poet for the night, and thank you all for coming, Alan Tickley.
This one's actually is a story, so it's good to end with a story. It's called, if I can find it, oh, lost it along the way. I had it there a minute ago. I will get it. If not, I'm going to read a very short one. It's called What's Left of Us. It's a very, very short story. What am I doing at all on this earth of ours? The big lumbering dinosaur began to ask himself, as if my lot, and kind are bound for imminent extinction. This little thought caused him great anguish and woe and mental pain, so that he piddled down his rear left leg. Such was the wind at the time. Some millions of years after that, the shine of his piss could be observed on the earrings of the princess as she drove into the tunnel.
Wow.